Yeah, it looks like it can. Okay.
Okay. All
Great,
right. So,
thanks. All right, so we're recording this meeting. If somebody doesn't want to be recorded, you can drop off or just stay silent. And let me share my screen. Where is, oh, here. Okay, sharing. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Right. Yes, yeah.
Okay, so January 23rd. Jimmy, do you know how to, is there a fast way to tell? Somebody last time said you can just quickly see who was on the call. What I've been doing is just kind of adding people at the beginning of the meeting, but if I can do that offline, that would speed things up.
I don't know. Surely does that for me.
Okay, actually, there might be a faster way I can do this too.
Yeah.
I think I can just snapshot. No, I'm just snapshot people. Yeah.
You can also just ask somebody. So then,
yeah.
Yeah, I've not found a way, but I just, on the Zoom, I look at the list of participants and sometimes just grab a snapshot. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to do that. That'll be faster than me trying to go through this.
The only thing is we don't know if it changes, but hey, something's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And if you do the own app way with the at sign and all that, then.
It's just going to save time.
But it's all way too much overhead.
Right.
There should be a simpler way.
Yeah. So somebody said the last time you could do that, but anyway, that's right. I'm just going to snapshot. It'll be faster than me trying to type it right now on the fly. All right. Okay. All right. So let's get started. I have the wiki page up. And again, if you go to the 5G use case page, you'll see that the link for today's meeting. We're going to be talking about what we started last time, the cross case use case realization interactions spreadsheet that the use case subcommittee wanted us to work. And then we'll talk about the M1 milestone and some integration commitments that we're trying to work, and then some common platform evolution initiatives. Okay, so I've been contacting lots of different teams and people, all the people working use cases for this spreadsheet, which is on last week's wiki, and I'll add the latest updates after today on the website, that website that I just showed you, which you can find and I'll put in the chat so people see it right away also. Okay. So again, I contacted a lot of different teams, every team in fact, and asked what the impacts were. These impacts I got from the wiki. So I've just been interacting and asking the teams about specifically about the cross interactions tab, which I'll show you in a second. So these are on the wiki. and if the wiki isn't up to date, then you can update the wiki to show what impacts you
have. Ben, quick question procedurally. I sent you some changes to your Excel file. Mm-hmm. Is that already here or should we update?
So something? I have, now you can send that to me. I've taken all everybody's emails and I've updated things. So I'll just jump to that. So these are inputs that I've gotten from everybody by email. And if you're here last week, you'll recall most of this was blank last week, right? So I, Shankar, you were on the OFPCI, right? I think I got your input. And
was your intent to make changes dynamically now?
Because Yeah. So if people see changes, you can tell me.
Yeah. So, and actually I'm glad Jimmy is on the call. We didn't get a chance to talk, but we just discussed the OFPCI and we think for OFPCI and pre-onboarding and onboarding, that might be a blue, but I wanted to discuss about how much of that flow is available. So should I just mention, do you have time? Should I talk about that now?
So what do you mean how much of the flow is available?
I can do it in like half a minute. I think the context. We have the PNFs in the simulated RAN.
Yeah.
I first thought they were not really advertised to ONAP because it was a park. Mm-hmm. But from a DCA perspective, we need those PNFs to be known to the to DCAE,
right,
so that the waste collector knows. Yeah. Now, does that mean?
Yeah, you see, you need
if we can get them into we can get them into ANAI, that would be great. Then then so just make that blue.
Yeah, you need to onboard. Yeah. Okay. All right. So some teams I didn't hear from at all, even through some email exchanges, were Control Loop, the Kubernetes Cloud Base Region Support, Fine Grain Placement Service FGPS, the Consistent IDEVA Cloud Region, Change Management HPA, and Scaling. Are any people from any of these teams on?
Hi, I'm attending for the FGPS.
Okay, great. So there were a number of. There's already a number of entries only because I heard from, other teams basically. Do you see any, do you think there's any interactions with some of these other platform evolution things or use cases, notably like software upgrade? Do you think there's any interaction there?
First of all, I'm sorry, but I couldn't understand this table yet. I won't understand the question mark. Maybe I don't know about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically what this table is trying to do is it's trying to say, for this particular use case, the functions and changes this use case is introducing, it does another use case interact with it or depend on it or change it, or do you need some information from it, or do you have the do the two teams need to talk to each other, or do they interact? That's what this is trying to show, right?
Okay, what's the color means?
The color means there's the blue means that there's likely to be some interaction. Yellow means there might be some interaction. A question mark means we still need to investigate, right? Gray means there's no interaction. Black is not applicable. There was one use case so far that's been withdrawn from Dublin and moved to, future El Alto. And then the question mark there's need to investigate. And then there's actually another item, which is a red asterisk, which means that it's a kind of a permanent interaction. There's an interaction that is always there. It's but not necessarily for the changes that are happening in Dublin.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So,
the FGPS stuff is definitely is not related to PNF. Because the FGPS is trying to make a decision about the VNF.
Okay. So it probably doesn't have interaction with the PNF. There's a lot of PNF use cases.
Yeah, I can see that.
So you probably and the BBS use case is mostly focused on a PNF, I believe, also. OSAM, do you think there's any interaction with OSAM?
I think on Monday in the use case subcommittee meeting, they decided to consider OSAM as a POC, not a use case anymore for Dublin.
Oh, okay.
But so, maybe you can check with Ala to be sure, but that's what I understood from the call.
Okay. And Gyeong, so OSAM probably there's no interaction, I guess. So for DAAS, do you think there's any interaction there, distributed analytics as a service?
Yeah. That's that's related.
Okay.
That's one. And actually DAAS, the proposed by the Remke, right?
Yeah. do you have anything that's that persists in storage that you need to store information on in a sort of runtime yeah. information?
Yes.
Okay. And control loops, do you have anything to do with control loops?
Possibly. But probably not the Dublin version, but the maybe in the future versions it's going to be.
I see. Okay. And then Kubernetes cloud-based region support?
Same thing. It's the future, but not the Dublin.
Okay. Oh. Are you sure it's something in the future, or is it something you need to investigate?
Investigate it. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the... identity as a cloud region, consistent ID of a cloud region?
Yes.
Okay. And then change management use case?
Yeah, in the future. We have to investigate it.
Okay. And HPA?
HPA is the monitoring system, kind of.
So yeah, HPA is being worked by Alex Vall.
I know. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Right. And, scaling.
That's going to be future investigation.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ben, Phil yeah. said he couldn't stay that long. That's why I think.
Okay. That's okay. I can stay.
Oh, well, okay. So we were suggesting to have the discussion we had in the last call.
Oh, yeah. First. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So I can jump ahead to that because that might be kind of a lengthy discussion. So let me... all right. So I've also been updating spreadsheet, a slide pack for the use case realization calls just capturing basic overviews of stuff we talk about. So one of the big platform evolution things is this control data NF association, which we've talked about, but today we're going to focus on, I don't know if I made slides for this. Let me see. We're trying to solve the persistent configuration information, which I guess I'll maybe start a slide for that. Okay, I'm just going to draw something really quick on the fly here. So essentially, you know, we've got the ONAP runtime functions, right? And what a lot of use cases are running into is essentially that they need to store some information in persistently during runtime, right? So basically there is some, you know, runtime functions which and use cases which need to store some info, right? Whether it's configuration or just, you know, as they're doing stuff, there some data needs to be stored, right? So there's this need across lots of different use cases that I've run across, BBS, CCVPN, OFPCI, that are doing this. And the OFPCI use case had a MariaDB solution, and Shankar is on, right? So do you want to talk about that a little bit? Do you have a wiki or slide or any picture on that or something?
Sure, I can. You want me to
show sure. a slide? Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Okay.
You. Okay. That's my. I just had my PowerPoint here. So while that loads, okay. Yes. Zoom. Share PowerPoint. can see this floor, right? Can you see the PowerPoint picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just for people who may not be familiar with this, this it's one of the use cases in the 5G use case team. It's called OFPCI. And basically, it's taking steps to see if you can do ONAP-based SON functions, and that means you're interacting with a RAN network, radio access network. And in this particular case, the PNFs for the radio access networks RAN are simulated because we needed many of them. So there was a POC POC done with something like 37 or PNF servers, NETCOM servers, which are PNFs, and they're responsible for something like 350 cells. We can increase that number to 2,000 cells. The reason this background and context is a little relevant is that we got into a situation where we said we had the need to say if ONAP is sending messages to change, let's in this particular case, it's the PCI value. It's just one integer value, physical cell identity. The details are not important, but what's important is ONAP SDNR is sending a NETCONF message to say change the PCI value. And one of the flows is the reason it's doing that is because it's getting back in step three, it is getting a NETCONF notification saying a configuration value changed. In this particular case, the configuration value or a operational value was something called the neighbor list. If you have neighboring cell relations between two cells in 4G and 5G. So that kind of operational information and state of the network, which can change frequently, there was a lot of discussion and consensus that those kind of operational dynamically changing things, you keep in a database, either an operational database or a configuration database. We just called it ConfigDB. And that kind of fast changing information is not what you would put in ANEI, which is keeping inventory. So for example, ANEI would have the name of the PNF, the identification, how to configure it, and it might even have, we should discuss whether an object called a cell, which is a little bit of a logical and abstract object. Now, but certainly detailed operational values of the cell, which is the neighbor list, it's fast changing. It's not part of inventory. It's not a KPI that goes into a DCA database. So there has been a lot of discussion about this, that it belongs in a configuration database closely associated with the controller, because the controller is taking action. It's changing values, reading values. So we started in Casablanca. We said we need a database. We called it ConfigDB. We got advice from all the experts. They said, make it a MariaDB database and let's keep it flexible. So what was done is, there's a MariaDB database called ConfigDB. It has a query interface which can be used by any ONAP module. And what it has is, we started simple, but let me just, yeah. So this was what was implemented, is MariaDB ONAP components. There's a REST interface to do all kinds of read-write operations. And in Dublin, they wanted to make sure it can support all CRUD operations. But we started small. And this is a good slide to get a feel for why this is happening this way, which is it has a table called a PNF object, and ANEI is the primary here. So if ANEI in Casablanca said PNF name is the primary, we'll say, okay, that's a primary key. If ANEI changes to PNF ID being the primary key, we'll say, okay, it'll be PNF ID. So whatever is known to ANEI, ConfigDB will read from that. And then it has the flexibility to add objects like a cell, which may not be in ANEI. If it is in ANEI, the cell object will take its key from ANEI, but then there will be attributes like PCI value which changes, a neighbor list which fast changes. So we envision a database which takes its primary keys from other databases in ONAP as needed, and then it has the flexibility to add operational information. So we call it ConfigDB, and it's currently using MariaDB, and we are waiting for the rest of the discussion to flesh out as to how should this grow, how should this scale. We the controller needs to use it and make changes frequently, but other modules might also need to read from it. In the use case that we did, config.db has this queries. There is a microservice which queries it in step 4b, and there is an optimization framework which queries this. And in Dublin, by the way, we are adding a database, a Postgres database inside DCA, because that will hold PM KPIs. That's the way to do it in ONAP DCA.
I'm sorry. I know you want to keep it small, but just remembering historically, why wouldn't you just make it a configuration database for all your configuration parameters?
Oh, we could. We started small to implement something, and yes, anything bigger should be done based on what has consensus that on app, right? Yeah, and that's that's exactly what's happening now. I think Ben brought this up because we might get to that stage very quickly, saying let's use this for, we want to use it for almost hold all the configuration that ONAP needs to hold.
Yeah, two other use cases have already run into this. So
So from an architecture point of view, I think that sounds right. I think rather than ANAI, this is the kind of data that's more closely associated with the controller. And I think the architects who should weigh in, if they're not, you know, from AT&T, if you want some additional opinions, be probably John Eng or Fari Behi, because
true. I think they
AI heard about that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Nice. Don't put in an ANI. You actually have something called a config database. The only reason, I know this might be a little bit off, but the only reason I bring this up is config databases are usually important because, you know, resources die and then you have to recover them and you want the last configuration information to restore. And then when you have a certain place for config database, as you get into, you know, things change in the network for a lot of different reasons, and you might want to validate to say, wait, are you still in the target or have you changed? And there's a lot of things you can do with it.
Yeah.
I see.
So specifically, if there are two other use cases, want to use something like this, it makes a lot of sense to just do one thing and not two separate things.
Exactly.
And you're saying the reason why it's a config database, which is tied to a resource, that's why it's tied to the controller. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, we actually already took steps to say it is sitting a little bit outside the controller, but very closely associated with it. And as an ONAP project, from an ONAP project perspective, the Jira items, you have to put it somewhere. So it's part of SDNC currently. Yeah.
So what processes can update and read it?
So as of now, the reading anything in ONAP can read it.
Okay.
It's a REST API, and in the PARC, the microservice and the optimization framework did the reading. The writing, as of now, we thought only SDNC would do the writing.
Okay.
But we could easily have anybody else write it, but then we have to start worrying about being coordinated. So for example, in this very flow, even though we are doing one part, we didn't see the need for the microservice writing to the database, to the config database, because one way of thinking about it is, if it reflects the operational state, then we must be disciplined about who's writing to it. Otherwise, it'll get out of sync very quickly.
Yeah.
So in this particular flow, if the microservice wants to make a change, it recommends that change to policy. Policy sends it to the controller. The controller makes the change. And only the controller then updates the configuration database, because only then you have ground truth of what's really happening in the network. The only other flow coming from the network would be anything that flows into DCAE. But at least in this use case, these are FM and PM KPIs, and so we don't have configuration information streaming that way. It's an important problem that I'm glad we are talking about it. So Ben, which are these two other projects?
And a problem that multiple use cases that I've come across have run across it. So
yeah,
if I can share again, I'll show you.
Okay. So we sort of anticipated this, right? I mean, you were part of all the discussions. So we said we'll do the work, create a little one, make sure it's what database technology it should be, and then when the right time comes, maybe it'll become a project by itself. Yeah.
Yeah, so when a parameter or configuration changes, does it do anything? Like, does it alert? Can you, or that's it?
What we did till now is if STNR was the only one making the change, STNR was the one publishing on DMAP. We didn't make the database publish on DMAP. At least we didn't do that because then now that the pool is doing the MariaDB now has to worry about writing to DMAP. So we kept that simple. Yeah. Do you think the database, I mean, NAI is a big database. It's a lot.
It does many things. And right. Right.
Yeah. I think of NAI as a huge database but it does so many things that there's a whole team behind it. And then it has to write, it has to take an input from multiple sources and it has to publish on DMAP changes.
You don't see ConfigDB doing anything like that.
It could grow into that, but I'm saying it will do that based on what everybody agrees.
Yeah.
So a partial answer was if there was only one module writing, then that module can do the DMAP. But as soon as you have two modules writing, then now you start having to coordinate. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a race condition issue. Yeah. So right now you're saying only SDNC or R, one of the controllers has writing privileges basically. But you also mentioned, I heard basically you're trying to sync up with information in ANEI.
True. You're absolutely right. So, but at least it's not a DMAP. We started with as a POC, right? So even in Dublin, we just discussed in the call before that, which is, the topic came up. Suppose I'm keeping it simple for our use case. Suppose I have 37 PNFs. We just loaded them into the ConfigDB last time. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, we will read from ANEI if ANEI has the 37 PNFs. So how do I get the 37 PNFs into ANEI? Because they are in a simulated RAM. And so that means that's the dependency on PNF onboarding. So if we have simulated PNFs, and we go through the onboarding flow, then they get into ANEI, in which case we'll say, okay, we'll read from ANEI. That's the right way to do it.
But who's the we? So basically, are you saying that during pre-onboarding, when a new NF comes on board, that this information needs to be updated and then it must flow through this, or is there something else that processes that flow?
Good question. I mean, we have not thought through all of this, but I would not, I don't think we need to bring in one more microservice. If we can just handle it between the controller, ANEI, and a DMAP bus, that might be enough. I don't know. It depends on what other things ConfigDB needs to do.
So you're saying, though, what you just told me is that these things don't actually... They don't actually write to it. All they do is read. Is that true? Or
as of what we did in Casablanca, there was only that blue arrow. If you're doing reading, if you want to show reading, then you can just put a read to any other ONAP module.
Right. Okay.
I think any ONAP module should be able to read. So the first blue line and the fourth blue line. Was what we did for Casablanca. Mm-hmm. And now we are discussing the second and the third blue lines. Yeah.
In other words, you're saying, should these also have write abilities? Is that right? Because in other words, let's suppose something changes in ANEI, a new unit comes up or whatever, like you just said, then does ANEI or is this database depending on...
At least the primary information. Let's take a simple example. There is a new PNF that comes up and only ANEI knows about it.
Yes.
So who's going to put it in the config database. So
exactly right.
So that second blue line is important, and you and I think we can give ANI write privileges because it'll be done in a this coordinated manner. Writing over DMAP directly to the config database.
But does have AI have all the information which you need in this database now? Because I understood ANI does not have all the information yet.
So that will go through the model. But just a quick update to Ben. Ben, I think I don't think it should write using DMAP. That's
okay.
That's too much coordination. the upper one should also be read-write, the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. So Martin, your question is, yeah, it depends on the model. For example, if the ANI has a model which has PNFs, and let's say it doesn't have cell, and the config database has PNF, cell, and value. So ANI will write only saying, hey, I have a new PNF. Or maybe you have a new attribute for the PNF.
So maybe there's some core sort of identifying information, and then there's some application specific information. Right. And of course, ANI won't know about the whole reason why this solution is needed is because, of course, it doesn't fit in ANI. So ANI would know about the core information, maybe, which would then create I've got a new PNF. And then it doesn't have anything yet for app-specific information because, of course, that's app-specific and would be updated by STMCR.
True. Yeah. So the second blue line, when the write operation from ANI to the runtime database, that becomes a whole database discussion of whether ANI writes or just publishes a change and then something else is responsible. It depends on how much of it is a push operation versus a pull. Well, not a pull, but it depends on how much a burden you're putting on ANI to make sure the config DB is updated, as opposed to the config DB is already doing a whole lot of extra work. Then it can say, I'll just listen to changes. It could be done both ways. I think people have to weigh in as to what makes sense. But now that if you start doing all of this, I think you'll need at least a microservice to manage the config DB. I have lots of thoughts. Actually, good discussion. The other thought is people need to weigh in as to if it's MariaDB, it's a relational database. Many people thought it makes sense. That's what you need for config. I think that discussion has to come so quickly and put to rest that it is a relational database and it can be scaled, and there is all kinds of, from what I understand, all kinds of a whole knowledge base available to take care of scale for a relational database. Yeah.
Scaling, yeah. Isn't there a whole scaling use case too? I don't know, maybe this belongs to...
But that's, I thought that was VNF. Is Jeff on the call? He was on the previous call. Jeff Hartley from Lumina. One reason that came up is if this was closely connected to NetConf and the NetConf way of doing config, then he basically said there is conventional wisdom and state of the art best practices in the NetConf community as to how you keep operational and configurational information. And he was saying it could be done different ways, and you just have to pick the database technology and the structure based on what overall makes sense. But it is closely connected to the controller, which will be doing a lot of the writing.
Okay. So let me stop there for a second. Kyung Lim, who's on the previous ANA call that I was just on, also had mentioned that CCVPN, this is a page that he pointed me to in ANAI, and so Jimmy's on the call too. Kyung, you want to talk about this? You know this a lot better than I do. So there's already some solution kind of doing this sort of.
Sure, do you want me to share?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'll stop sharing. Stop sharing. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in the CCVPN use case for Casablanca,
there was a request to add some information to the service instance object. And basically, it's this item here, which passed from SO to closed loop some information that would allow the system to recreate the service instance object. So it was originally called the customer request field, but it got renamed to input parameters. So I'll just jump down to the comment section on this page. This customer request field, the input parameters, is basically just a string on the service instance object, but the data that's passed in from SO to Clamp looks like this. So it's a JSON object with a bunch of other attributes. Now, this stuff is not used by ANAI. It's only ANAI is just the conduit that passes it from SO to Clamp, and it gets used by their logic. But obviously, it contains as much information as they want to put into it, and they get it and fetch it whenever they need to. So this is a similar situation to what Ben was talking about with the PNF use case. What they want to do is to make this more generic. So this is specific here to service instance object. Obviously, for a PNF, maybe you would want to have it on the PNF object, or maybe you want to have it on some commonly on all the objects, or perhaps in some unrelated objects, something new and different from all of these. But obviously, as a single string, you can put as much information as you want to have into it. That other page that Ben showed was this one, which I started. And basically, it's trying to document the producers of information and the consumers of information, because in a lot of cases, and this is one of them, ANAI doesn't actually use the information. It's just passing it from one place to another. And I've got a few other cases here documented. For example, OOF to VFC, passing these flavor names and flavor IDs. So in this use case and in others which have similar situations, we probably want to document, you know, who's producing it, who's consuming it, and what is it called as it passes through, because there could be opportunity to consolidate these into a common feature, or perhaps we actually need to separate them so that they don't clash with each other. And there's some of these discussions here, like multi-vim to OOF, there have been arguments about what should it be called. You know, what is the cloud region ID, cloud owner, vim ID, etc. So these things are already happening and should probably be resolved in a neater way, in coordinated fashion. So that's the idea from CCVPN use case. As a ANAI sort of solution, there are a couple of different ways of implementing it. One is, of course, to just put a string, which you can then shove a JSON object into. The ANAI also has a schema for metadata and properties and extra properties. And this is a generic key value store. So you can add an arbitrary list of attributes and put an arbitrary value in them as well. And that might be useful, for example, if you wanted to index individual fields, or if you want to search and filter by individual fields, rather than having this as one big opaque string. So, you know, those are the ideas that potentially on the table for that might help you, you know, in these use cases.
So one question, Kyung, thanks, is, so I understand the information will flow through ANAI, but is ANAI the only entity that will be making updates to this operational information, or is it coming to a controller, or?
Well, that's not really a question for ANAI. I don't think ANAI would actually make any change to this information. As I said, in this case, in CCVPN, it's just the conduit, because these two other ONAP projects need to talk to each other. So, yes, in this case, I'd have to throw it back to Ben or someone else to answer those.
Yeah. So maybe I should ask this question which way. So maybe the most basic question is when some operational information or runtime information changes, which module is the primary owner or responsible for knowing the operational state? We need to identify that. In this picture, and Ben, and in our use case, we said it's SDNR, SDNC is that module. So in the other use cases, we need to know exactly who has the correct state, and only that module should be able to update. And
hold on, Kyung. So one quick thing, Kyung. Did I kind of get the idea right? You have a service, and you have some thing you're updating with that service, right? It's some application-specific information that service. What do you call it again? The
so that one is called the input parameter. Yeah. So it's the input parameters attribute of the service instance object. So of this is a service.
It's a service, right?
It's a service. So it was created by SO initially.
Yeah.
And then through some change to the service, it will be recreated and updated somehow. So this in this case, going through the closed loop, and the information that was used to create it needs to be passed to closed loop so that they can create a new service instance with copying a lot of those parameters and then updating a few which have changed, because obviously something has changed. So that's a way of passing the original parameters so that they can recreate the service instance and then update the things that need to be updated.
I see. Okay, that's clearer now. Okay, so basically there's Clamp is creating a new service, and it needs some information to properly create it, right? The original, yep. These original parameters, it basically you're saying the these parameters that were originally used to create these things, it needs these parameters, these same parameters as input, and they have to be stored or passed somehow. And so SO gets these parameters, is that right? And it goes to ANEI, and ANEI passes them to Clamp, is that right? Or what?
No, so SO pushes the data in because it's the one that created the service instance object in the first place. Uh-huh. ANEI doesn't do anything with it. There's no active part here for ANEI. Uh-huh. Clamp fetches it as and when it's needed.
Okay. But pushes it
so in. Well, in this case, the push is into that input parameters field. And then Clamp has received an event or something from DCAE, something else happens. Mm. It then queries ANAI to find that service instance to get the service, those input parameters, and then it goes and does whatever function it was going to do.
But the point though is that this place where it pushes it to is not the ANAI database, right? It's some other thing. Is that right?
No, it is. It is ANAI.
Oh, so it is storing this information into ANAI. Is that right? Okay, I see.
Yeah. I mean, that page that I pointed you to, the CCVPN page, is precisely all the schema changes that we put into ANAI. And this is one of them. So it is an actual field in the service instance object in ANAI.
I see.
Now, this was added for CCVPN use case. I'm not sure whether it's also used in other SO behaviors for all cases or just for CCVPN use case. I don't know that part. But it is available anyway. Anybody can have a look at it right now. So it's there.
I see. Okay. So, but the interesting thing, though, here is that in theory, it could be the case that it's stored somewhere else, like in this MariaDB thing, and not an ANAI, and it would still work. That's kind of the point, right? Like currently it's stored in ANAI, but it doesn't have to be. It could be if there's a unified solution to put it somewhere else.
Sure. In this particular scenario, the service instance itself is the important object, because SO works on the service instance, and Clamp also works on the service instance.
Right.
So partitioning these input parameters as an attribute of the service instance makes total sense.
I see.
If it was something else completely unrelated, obviously it wouldn't have been attached to the service instance. It would have been attached somewhere else.
And in the BBS use case, service instance field, input parameters field. So, they're basically, they have a PNF resource. So obviously the MariaDB solution seems like it would totally work for the BBS use case and this other one as well. So essentially we have multiple solutions right now and we're trying to unify them, right? So,
well, I'm trying to understand. So when the ONT moves, you're saying it goes into the Maria database for the changes.
Yeah.
But
we want
a notification. So that's in the SDNC, I guess, is the discussion I'm hearing.
During the BBS use case, during that public plug and play registration epic, what would happen is that additional field coming in from the PNF registration VES event would go into the MariaDB through at some point. Let's say we haven't figured out exactly who's writing it, but something is going to write it there, and then that microservice, that update microservice, is going to be able to fetch that out of there to tell that you've got that move case, right? Yeah. Some of the I's need to be dotted and T's crossed to figure out where and when and how stuff moves. But I think that would be the thing. So let me...
My point is, whoever's making the change to MariaDB then can notify our OSSs that there is a move.
Right.
Actually, there's no need for that. Type of information, there's no need to modify the OSS because it will be later on SO, probably the one updating the service instance in ANI, and that will generate an event that will go to external API and then notify the OSS. So,
I see.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I have a quick comment, Ben, and a later drop. So, but the top blue arrow is both read and write.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to make one point. It's true. I think we can all use a runtime database that consolidates things. But as I was listening to Kyung, I think there is some kind of difference. Maybe it's not maybe it doesn't matter at the end. But there's a difference between a runtime state which reflects the network and information known to the network, which is kind of what people say, I'm configuring an element or a VNF or a PNF. And there's another runtime state which has to do with services and internal to ONAP, which the element may not know. But they are both candidates for runtime database. But one of them has this ground truth kind of issue, which is you have to store what is the state of the elements you're controlling. That's why the controller comes in. But in the other case, if ONAP is the ground truth, then you don't really have to ask anybody else.
Right.
Hold on. One thing I need to just quickly see. Are people aware of other use cases besides the one we've identified, notably the CCVPN use case? So I should mark this as blue, actually. BBS use case, right? That would be useful.
I would ask about also the NetConf configuration use case. I mean, I know.
Okay, Oscar is on the call. Oscar, do you know?
It might be relevant, right?
Do you know if
configuring something? NetConf, where do you get the data from?
Yeah. Do you know if the NetConf use case might use this solution or need to might need to store something persistently?
At least it's not in the scope for Dublin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe we should investigate. Maybe there might be a use later on, right? Oops. What about this software upgrade use case? Do you think there's any interaction there to...
I
that is there any reason to store something persistently related to software upgrade? Oscar, are you there?
No. I don't think in addition to what is the inventory. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. And Shakar, for network slicing, I also didn't get it. I think network slicing.
Slicing.
But network slicing, yeah. There's some open points about. About
there will be impacts in the future, but I think the slicing discussion is only just getting started.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe let's mark that as a future thing. And what about some of these other interactions? Do you have interaction with DAS or OSAM or control loops, Kubernetes?
You're asking what for OS or?
For network slicing.
Oh.
I think it's just in the modeling stage. So I'm guessing there's no interaction, but.
I would say at this point, not.
Yeah. I'm guessing there's no interaction on any of these things because listening to Glosman, I think there was no interaction, I think. Change management? Well, there's probably a future interaction with change management. Scaling. Okay. All right. Let me see. So any other OSAM or DAS? Do we think there's any other things that people are aware of that might need to store information persistently? Okay.
We don't have to look at CPE, the UCPE use case.
The VCPE use case?
The VCPE, whatever we'll call it.
That's not, that was a R2 main use case, and it got some.
No one's updating it?
It's not one of the main things happening in R4, though. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're almost out of time here. The other thing that we're tasked to do for M1, so I'm trying to coordinate at least for the 5G use cases, but I think this is happening across all use cases, is we need commitment from the integration team. So there was basically, I promised Ala that I would update the 5G use case pages, which I don't think I have open right now. And I'll just bring it up real quick. So I said that we would create, I'd create another slide here just summarizing the who's the lead for integration and from the integration team for the 5G use cases. But I expect that all of the use cases, not just the 5G ones, will also have to do that as well. And that's one of the main deliverables. Let me see here. Okay. So we can just quickly look at the M1 milestone here, which has been extended to January to tomorrow, right? And as I understand it, tomorrow is also where we officially accept all of the use cases. I mean, that right now everything is sort of in a proposal, right? And the pages represent what is actually proposed, and then tomorrow things will be accepted officially. That's why the integration identification is really one of the key deliverables, I think, in M1. Identifying epics. All right, and let me check this milestone checklist here. So if you're working a use case, you're leading a use case, or you're involved in a use case, you probably want to check this out. And I'll put this into the chat here. And you probably want to make sure that you're that your use case has filled out these template things and deliverable milestones things. So, you know, do you have essentially do you have acceptance? The main one that I'm aware of is that you need to make sure you've got integration acceptance, and I think most use cases are looking at development and have made progress on all these. But anyway, you should probably take a look at these things. So, all right. Any questions on that? The release planning, the M1 milestone, the process, the deliverables. So hopefully people should know about those things. Okay. Any other inputs on this cross interaction spreadsheet? I've reached out to everybody and where there are blanks, people just haven't responded to me. So, okay. For this, are there any other last thoughts on the, on this runtime thing? I think we probably, as Margaret said, we should just probably bring this to the architecture committee as a proposal using MariaDB. I think that sounds good, unless other people have a suggestion. Are there any other ideas, alternative ideas we want to think about or consider, or otherwise we can develop this, right? Okay, so maybe on one of the OFPCI calls, we can talk about this some more, because that's where this idea sort of originated from. And we can maybe, so we have this drawing here, right? That, is this MariaDB? This is an off the shelf solution, is that right?
Yeah, it's open source, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a discussion about consolidating databases and scaling. There is that database consolidation slide deck that mentions a version called the MariaDB Galera cluster. So that
okay.
Yeah.
And this interface is a RESTful interface.
Yes.
What did you write
that's
here?
That's the way it was done. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Great. All right. So
by the way, the team working on it is from Tech Mahindra. So Sandeep Shah has all the Jira items for the config DB, the way it's being done.
Oh wait, can you tell
me? And it's all under ST. It's under STNC, by the way. Sandeep Shah, S-A-N-D-P. Yeah, Shah S-A-H. He's for Tech Mahindra.
Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned this STNC.
It's under STNC Jira. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But it was initiated from, do you have the Jira ticket for that or?
Yeah, it's in the, I do.
STNC 431, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. Yeah.
431, great.
Yeah, STNC 431.
Okay. So it's already being implemented and maybe other people can use it, right? So that would be great. Except that.
Right, but then they would figure out what needs to be added exactly and things
right,
like that. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So maybe we should write down what our next action should be, right? So one thing is to go to the architecture subcommittee and present this as a proposal, proposed solution, right? And there's a whole bunch of these open things, the topics to think about, right? So we need to think about these topics, let's say. And another thing is the three use cases that we're aware of using this, do they need to adapt or change software or, you know, so CCVPN, as Kyung has shown us, already has a solution. And for BBS, the BBS use case is still seeking a solution. And this is one of the reasons why we're talking about it now, because it came up and, you know, I've been on many different use case calls and stuff. So I was aware that other use cases are solving the same problem.
Ben, I'm just repeating one point. the CC VPN use case and our use case, the way we need a runtime database, is it's a little different in nature. That's why they, for example, didn't think of creating a database, and we said we need a database.
Right, right. Although the CC VPN use case, talking to Kyung, it sounds like he can, this solution will also work for the needs of that use case.
Right? True. It's absolutely relevant that we should be.
Or sorry, what? Was that Kyung speaking?
Sorry. I would not recommend this separate database for the CCVPN use case.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Well, the main pointer here is that it's tightly coupled to the service instance object, which is already in ANAI. Mm-hmm. So having a separate database where you have to correlate it, mm-hmm. join it, synchronize it, that would just be a pain. That's why I wouldn't suggest it. Now, in your ONT case, it's tightly coupled to a PNF. Mm-hmm. So again, suggesting that you should put a separate database, let you sync and correlate, that would also be a pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you don't have that pain, then putting in a separate database is fine because there's no need to correlate it. But if you do have to correlate it tightly to an ANAI object, then putting a separate database is more work than probably it's worth.
Mm. So basically you're saying that if there's an ANAI object, and in a PNF case, of course there is, right, that it would be better to introduce a field into the PNF model, resource model, for that thing and then just update that field. Is that right?
So
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with whatever correlation has to be done with ANAI, how dynamic and frequent it is. So for example, if it's a PNF object with some fields and properties which are in ANAI and those don't change as rapidly, and you have others which change very rapidly, then the correlation part is not a big overhead, and you're getting the benefit of saying I have a different database that is designed for large scale and rapid changes. That's the way we were thinking of the config database. And so the being in sync with ANAI doesn't become an overhead because you're syncing on things which won't change your whole, the name of the PNF and the ID will not change that frequently.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, but if for example, if there's a service object and if it gets into other things which are very closely the business, the core business of ONAP as it's moving things around, you know, that's how I'm interpreting the CCVPN part. So that's the preliminary thoughts based on what I'm just hearing. Yeah.
So the other thing that's sort of come up is that, you know, essentially there's a platform data model, right, that ONAP has, and for the resource, you could also hang information off of the PNF, which is what Kyung is alluding to, right? So in theory, you could just hang information off the PNF resource, not in ANAI, but off the resource model. That might be another place to store stuff.
But you just still have to put some. Ben, I have to drop. Sorry.
Yeah. We're at the end of the meeting anyway. So, okay. Thank you everybody for joining, and I hope you found this useful. And have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks.